All right, John chapter 4 here tonight. John chapter 4. I think I just have a couple more lessons on true worship here. But John chapter 4. Let's read down through the passage again since it's been a week since we've looked at it. Again, I want to emphasize several points that Jesus mentions here. Of course, if Jesus is saying it's true worship, then we can be pretty sure that it's true worship. And anything that is contrary to what he says here in this passage is not true worship, though they might be going through the motions of worship. John chapter 4, verse 19, the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. So we have this conflict of worship even today. You know, do you have contemporary or do you have traditional worship in? That's not the right question. I've pointed this out before. It's not the right question. Is it contemporary or traditional? No, the question is whether or not it's biblical, whether it's true worship like Jesus is saying here. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. So again, as we've already seen, true worship focuses on the person, not a place. Notice, ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Notice verse 23 and 24. This will be the focus here tonight. But the hour cometh, and now is. So even as Jesus is emphasizing this, we see the change that was taking place in worship when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Notice there's both that are important here. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God the Father is looking for those who are truly worshiping him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And I want you to notice there's a balance here of spirit and truth. Notice there's a balance that needs to be maintained with that. We've already seen the aspect of spirit, but I want you to notice the two aspects there. Really, we probably could say spirit speaks of the heart, truth speaks of the mind. I want you to think about the fact that the Bible says that we should sing with understanding. Notice with me, Psalm 47. Psalm 47. How many times do we just sing words? Are we singing with understanding? Are we paying attention to what the words say? In fact, let me just say it this way. That's why sometimes songs, hymns, whatever, that are not truly accurate as far as Scripture is concerned, that's how they get into churches, because people don't pay attention to the words. Notice it says here, Psalm 47, verses 6 and 7. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Notice how many times this phrase is emphasized here in this one verse. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises unto our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises, notice this, with understanding. Now, let me point out something here. If someone was bowing before a king, if they had a king over them, if they were bowing before a king, how much do you think in earnest they would do that? Okay, so that's an earthly king, but this is capital K, King of all the earth. And yet, how many times do we flippantly, casually, carelessly go before the King of kings and Lord of lords, the King of all the earth? We are to sing with understanding. We are to praise God with understanding. You don't need to turn there, but Psalm 145, verse 18 says, The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. There's our word. So are we calling upon the Lord in truth? Notice Psalm 147. Psalm 147. Psalm 147. Verses 19 and 20. He showeth his word, verse 18 talks about his word as well. He sendeth out his word and melteth them. He causeth his wind to blow and the waters flow. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. Now, I want you to think about spiritually, we are a chosen nation. We are a holy nation, the Bible says. God has given us his words. And I believe that's very key as far as truly worshiping God. I want you to notice something here as far as Israel in relation to that. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. I want to point out here that Israel had the words of God. They had the truth, but they did not have spirit behind that truth. Again, the Lord Jesus said that true worshipers are worshiping in spirit and in truth, in both. All right, so here's Israel. They had the oracles of God, as this passage says, but they did not have the spirit, capital S, spirit of God, but they also did not have, they were also not serving God and worshiping God with spirit as well. Notice it says here in Romans 3, verse 1, what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision, following all these Jewish ordinances and rites and rituals? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. Notice these Old Testament scriptures, the truth of the Old Testament was committed to Israel. But I want you to consider also, though, as we see in this context of going through Romans, notice Romans chapter 9 then, Romans chapter 9, so we see that they had the oracles of God, they had the truth of God in the Old Testament, but it did not make a difference in their lives. And so therefore, even as Jesus told them on more than one occasion, in vain ye do worship me. Notice it says here in Romans 9 verse 1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, from my brethren, notice this, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites. And then he lists several things here as far as the Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God, the promises, whose are the fathers and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. Also want you to see this in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. So again, we see here this example of Israel. They had the oracles of God, but they could not truly worship God. And again, I want to emphasize, we only can truly worship God in truth. All right, so there's an emphasis on truth as we see this. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Here's what I want you to see in verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So I want you to think about the fact that so many churches will assemble on what we call the Lord's Day. For most people, it's just a Sunday, just another day, and they set aside, you know, a little bit of time in their mega churches, and they do some praise and worship and all that kind of stuff. So are they truly worshiping? In the context of what Jesus said, are they truly worshiping when they have no desire whatsoever for the Word of God? Not only that, but they don't even have true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even again, the word preached did not profit them because being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, with that said, I want you to notice John chapter 12. John chapter 12. So what do we mean by truth as far as Scripture is concerned? All right, so they must worship him in spirit and in truth. And I want you to notice there's two aspects that I want to emphasize with that here in our study tonight. John 12, verse 48. He that rejecteth me, John 12, verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, notice there's two aspects emphasized there, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. I mentioned this on the Lord's Day in relation to the Great White Throne Judgment. This book right here is one of the standards that will be used for judging people at the Great White Throne, and of course, also for us at the judgment seat of Christ as well. But I want you to notice two aspects of truth here. The truth, he that rejecteth me, the living word, and receiveth not my words, the written word, hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. First of all, I want you to consider that as far as truth is concerned, we're talking about the person of Jesus Christ. Now, while we're here in the Gospel of John, notice John chapter 1. John chapter 1. So what do we mean by truth? First of all, we're speaking of the person of Jesus Christ. So if our focus of worship is not upon the Lord Jesus Christ through the glory of God the Father, then we do not have true worship. We're just going through the motions of what is called worship. Notice it says in John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Not a God, like the Jehovah's Witness Bible and all that. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Let's go ahead and just drop down to verse 14 then. Here's where I want you to see the truth here. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Notice this statement then. Full of grace and truth. Notice again, Jesus Christ had a balance of grace and truth. He had an equal balance, a right balance between these two. And I've heard it described this way. All grace makes a person a liberal. All truth makes a person, not fun to be around, not enjoyable to be around, and so on. Notice Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth. And this is the sinless Son of God, the eternal Son of God. Drop down to verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but notice this, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And of course, very familiar verse. Jesus Christ is the truth, according to John 14:6. Now, as far as the truth is concerned in relation to Jesus Christ, I've mentioned this here recently, but notice John 18. John chapter 18, verse 37. Of course, this is when Jesus is talking to Pilate here. John 18, verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. Notice this. That I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Of course, Pilate with his subjective truth said, he saith unto him, What is truth? By the way, that's a question that a lot of people are asking today because they don't have the standard of truth, the Word of God. So everything is relative as far as truth is concerned. We'll see another passage here in a moment. Truth is not flexible. So many think that truth is flexible. It's always in flex. It's always adjustable. It is not. Truth has a standard upon which it is built, the Word of God. What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. I want you to consider that Jesus Christ is described in Scripture as the full revelation of God. That's why I say a relationship with Jesus Christ is absolutely essential. I'm not talking about just a relationship in salvation. If we do not have a close relationship with Jesus Christ, we are not going to be able to truly worship God sincerely. I want you to notice something else here as far as that in Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. I said that Jesus Christ is the full revelation of God. All right, so as we think about worshiping in truth, we're talking about a relationship with the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as you think about the error of Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, Catholicism, it doesn't matter what religion you're talking about. They cannot truly worship even though they go through the motions of worshiping a God. Hail Mary, da-da-da-da. They're not worshiping God. They say they're going through the motions of worship, but it is not worship in truth when it's focused on another God. I'm sorry, but contrary to what people say, Islam and Christianity, I mean, they're similar. No. My God had a son. Allah did not. They are not the same God. So as you understand this, we did not need another revelation like Muhammad teaches. There was no other revelation that was needed because Jesus Christ is the full revelation of God. He is the truth. Hebrews 1, verse 1, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners, various manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Obviously a reference to the Old Testament prophets. Hath in these last days, by the way, Notice that statement, last days is everything from Jesus Christ on as far as New Testament is concerned. Spoken unto us by his Son. Notice again, Jesus Christ is the full revelation of God the Father, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and notice this, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. I was listening to a message, just to kind of get some ammo, I guess. It was a message that was more of a lesson that was taught by Dr. Thomas Ice. And I want you to think about how blasphemous this statement was. I mean, this is during the introduction. And evidently, at this workshop type of teaching, this one who introduced Dr. Thomas Ice of the pre-trib Rapture Center, or whatever it's called, he's sitting there next to Thomas Ice, and he says, "I feel like I'm sitting next to the majesty on high. God, help us. God, help us." That is nothing but blasphemy, because you notice this. He's sitting next, Jesus Christ himself is seated next to the majesty on high. To be honest with you, I deleted that message. It's like, I'm not going to go any further with that one. Jesus Christ is the full expression of God the Father, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. He's better than the angels. Mormonism, Islam, supposedly was given by angels. Angel Moroni and Gabriel by Islam. Sorry, but Jesus Christ is greater than these angels. So we have the person of Jesus Christ that's key to worshiping God the Father in truth, but also the inspired written word of God. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Colossians 1:5, the word of the truth of the gospel. And of course, 2 Timothy 2:15 says that we are to rightly divide the word of what? Truth. So obviously this book right here is absolutely essential in our truly worshiping God the Father. Another statement in scripture that's related to this, Daniel 10:21, talks about the scripture of truth. If a so-called worship service is not founded upon this book right here, there is not true worship going on. Jesus Christ himself said, in spirit and in truth. I want you to notice with me Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. A lot of what is called worship today is not worship in Jesus Christ's words. So they might start their praise and worship and the rock concert and all that on Sunday mornings, saying that they're worshiping God. Get your hands together and start worshiping God with me. I'm just like, sorry, but that is not worship, because they have rejected the truth of this book right here, including separation, all those things. So whether they call themselves Baptists or not, they are not truly worshiping according to what Jesus Christ said. Proverbs 22:17 says this, "Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee." Notice that. If you keep these words of wisdom within thee. So we're not just, well, got to get my Bible because I'm going to church. No, keeping the words within us. "They shall withal be fitted in thy lips. That thy trust may be in the Lord, I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee." Also, just listen to the words here, Proverbs 28, verse 9, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination." All right, so these churches that have rejected the word of God, but yet they're holding these worship services. I think of Joel Osteen's church, quote-unquote church. I mean, it's nothing more than an arena gathering. He has rejected the truth of even the salvation message of the Word of God. How can they worship? They do not have the words of the law. They do not want the words of what the Word of God says. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Now, I mentioned illustrations that are common. Well, I don't need to go to church because I can worship God in the deer blind. I can worship God out on the golf course. I can worship God at the lake. Okay, but let's think about that statement, though. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, the word of God, even his prayer shall be an abomination. They don't want to hear the word of God, so they're not worshiping. In fact, if they pray to so-called God, then God says, your prayer to me is an abomination. Now, as far as the truth, notice 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. I mentioned that truth is not flexible. Truth has a foundational standard. It does not change. There are many who think that we have a changing truth in our modern day. No, truth has not changed. We are the ones who have changed. 1 Timothy 3, verse 14. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly, but if I tarry long, that thou mightest know, that thou mayest know, I should say, how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. See, there's a certain way that we should behave in the house of God as we assemble together and so on. I mean, growing up, we were taught you don't run in the place that's designated for worship. You know, I mean, there's certain things that we were taught not to do so that we could respect the place that we met to worship God, which is, notice, the church of the living God. Here's the statement, the pillar and ground of the truth. Ground speaks of the foundation. The pillar speaks of a support pillar. Now, can I ask you, hopefully it doesn't happen this way, but does the foundation of this building move? If the foundation of this building moves, we're in trouble, right? Because the rest of the structure may not be secure and stay standing. Pillars also speak of like of a support pillar. So notice here, those things do not move. So notice as far as the church is concerned, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. God has committed truth to the local church, and we have a responsibility to guard and protect it. Now, here's the issue, though. In modern-day Christianity, here's the issue. If something is not forbidden in Scripture, then it's okay to use it. That's the pragmatic gospel of many independent Baptist churches today. As long as it produces results, it's okay. Now, as we see this develop over the last several decades, they now are able to use drama in place of preaching at times. They've brought rock music in the churches because it produces a result. Entertainment. We have a circus atmosphere in so many churches today. They have Wheel of Fortune giveaways. When the wheel is spinning and the person who had the most on the bus route gets the winning thing on the wheel. Gimmicks to attract a crowd, all on and on and on the list goes. I years ago, I remembered hearing of a preacher that preached, and it was advertised that if they had a certain attendance at their church, that he would preach on Sunday morning from the rooftop of their church building. All right, so all of these gimmicks. I mentioned in passing a church in Florida, I believe it was, in relation to some bus ministry outreach and so on. It was promoted that a baby elephant was going to be in the service on this particular day that they were emphasizing. And all the children who rode the bus would be able to have their picture taken with this baby elephant. Literally, they brought the baby elephant into the church auditorium. God help us. God help us. But it produces results. Can I ask you to show me where that is something that they did in the New Testament church age? Where do you see anything like that in the book of Acts or the New Testament epistles? Here's the point. We've lost the Holy Spirit, so we have to have these gimmicks to produce the same results. Well, the elephant, as I mentioned, did what elephants do naturally. Literally, the stench from this, according to this account, the stench was so bad, the word of God and worship was totally removed from the they totally had to remove the carpet and replace it and everything. Gimmicks instead of God. Can I ask you, were they truly worshiping that day as they had all these gimmicks to produce their results? Just because it's not forbidden in Scripture does not mean it's right. God tells us how He wants us to worship. God tells us what He wants to happen as we assemble together. For us to say, well, this is okay, and this is... So where do you draw the line? Well, if it's not forbidden in Scripture, it's okay. Where do you draw the line? If you open it up that way, then you have all kinds of things like we see happening in our world today. There are liberal churches that, for the sake of an outreach, they had a Bless Your Pet Day. Everybody's bringing their pets to church so they can be blessed by the minister. Where do you draw the line? God tells us how He wants us to worship. There's the line. So many independent Baptist churches have crossed the line in many ways. Well, if it produces results, let's get Santa Claus there. Let's get the Easter Bunny there. Where do we draw the line? A lot of people have drawn the line in the wrong place. And so I believe, literally, their worship is hindered. Notice Deuteronomy 12. Deuteronomy 12. All right, so the Bible tells us it's very clearly wrong for us to add to what the Bible says as well. Well, just because it's not forbidden in Scripture does not mean it's okay. All right, so we're going to use the methods of this world to try to accomplish what God said He would do through His Spirit. Let's me Deuteronomy 12, verse 32. What thing soever I command you, observe to do it. Deuteronomy 12, 32. What thing soever I command you, observe to do it. Notice this statement right here. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. You're to not add to it, you're not to take from it. What God says to do, what God commands. That's why it's so important for us as New Testament church age saints to make sure we know what the New Testament epistles say. Now in the context of this, I want you to notice here verse 1. What is he talking about in the context? He's talking about worship. Deuteronomy 12, verse 1. These are the statutes and judgments, the commands of God, ye shall observe to do in the land which the Lord God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it, all the days that ye live upon the earth. Ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess, the land of Canaan here, served their gods. Upon the high mountains, upon the hills, and under every green tree. And ye shall overthrow their altars. So these are places of worship that where they worship the Canaanite gods. And break their pillars and burn their groves with fire. And ye shall hew down the graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place. Ye shall not do so unto the Lord your God, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there. Even unto this, unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither shalt thou come, and thither ye shall bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices. Oh, so you're not supposed to just give online and then sit at home. Okay, and your tithes and heave offerings and of your hand, and your vows and your freewill offerings, and the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks. This thought crossed my mind. My former boss said, he's Roman Catholic, and my former boss said that during the COVID lockdowns, when churches were not meeting, he says it was pretty nice to be able to watch the Mass and the church service, the Catholic Church, while they're in bed. And there ye shall eat before the Lord your God, and ye shall rejoice in all that ye put your hand unto, ye in your households, wherein the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. Ye shall not do after all the things that we do here this day. Notice, ye shall not do after all the things that we do here this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. Oh boy, we've got a lot of worship services like that today. And ye are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance which the Lord your God giveth you. So again, we see here that in the context of worship, he says, don't add to it or diminish aught from it. 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. I want to point out, and this is just a reminder, we've seen this before. I want to point out that music has nothing to do with evangelism. 1 Corinthians 14, notice verses 24 and 25. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, all right, so he's an unbeliever, or one unlearned, has not been taught the truth of the word of God, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. Now, what do we mean by prophesying? Prophecy is proclaiming the revealed truth. All right, so we have the completed revealed truth, and that's, so I'm prophesying in the biblical sense. I'm prophesying. I'm not foretelling the future. I'm foretelling the truth that has been revealed. Prophesying is preaching revealed truth. Notice verse 25, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. Why? Because of the preaching of the revealed truth. Proclaiming God's revealed truth is the key to this. So falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. Notice, the worship in truth is a response to the word of God, the proclaiming of revealed truth. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want to show you here that many no longer want the truth, and so that the key to that is then that they are not truly worshiping God in truth. All right, so God is seeking true worshipers, God the Father. Verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come, and it has arrived. That's just my interpretation of this. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. A lot of churches. That's a good description of a lot of churches today. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. You know, the teachers that will come in and bless your pet. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. There is no true worship that's going to take place when they have turned away their ears from the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2. Another good description of the last days. We're almost finished here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We've seen this in our prophecy series. I want you to see this in this context as well. Verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Notice the reason why this takes place, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. Notice, they believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief, of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now, I want to point out by application, the traditions. We have shifted our traditions. We've not held fast to the traditions that Baptists have held for hundreds of years. And as far as the unbeliever is concerned, 1 Corinthians 2:14 says that the natural man, the unsaved person, cannot what? Receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. So let me ask you, how can an unsaved person then worship God? How is that even possible? To truly worship? Well, they might go through the motions. The unsaved cannot worship God in truth, as Jesus Christ said. As we close, notice Isaiah 30. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 8. Now go, write it before them in a table, Isaiah 30, verse 8. I'll go write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. And remember what I said, Proverbs 28 said, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Which say to the seers, the prophets, as we even saw on the Lord's day, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. You know how many times it would be nice to be able to preach nice sugar stick sermons all the time? Like Joel Osteen, you can have your best day now. Oh, I don't have enough hair to have a hairdo like that, I guess. So, notice, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from being before us. Notice that. They don't want the truth. So let me ask you, if that's the case, how can they truly worship God? Prophesy us smooth things. That's what a lot of people are saying today. Maybe not exact same words. So let me ask you, even though they're gathering in worship centers that cost millions of dollars, are they worshiping God? Father, I pray that you'd help us to discern what true worship is all about. Lord, help us. God forbid that we would not have our hearts right and truly worship you. Father, may we worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, thank you for showing us by way of what Jesus Christ said, what you're looking for. And Lord, may we not just gather for worship, may we also be found in worship throughout the week as well, for you are worthy. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.